Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. This morning we find Jesus visiting with his disciples and paying attention, people watching, I think, paying attention to people milling around. I'm imagining a town square. I just came from Georgetown, Texas, so I'm imagining a town square with a courthouse in the middle of the square and the shops around, the antique stores, the art galleries. I imagine Jesus sitting in a place like that, watching, people watching with his disciples, pointing out what he sees. I'm going to invite you into that scene in a moment. As we approach this scripture, let's do so in a spirit of prayer. Holy God, open this word to us that it might speak to us, that it might find root in our hearts, and that we might live your word in the world, O God, with joy and with gladness. We ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ, your living word, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. And the people of God together say, Amen. As he taught, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them." Contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord. Jean-Rene and Leticia are bringing us special music today. Welcome home. We're glad you're back with us.
Thank you. my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
In our text today, we find Jesus and his disciples downtown watching the comings and the goings of busy people. The vendors in the marketplace, I imagine, are fawning over the self-important scribes who walk around in their high-dollar clothes. At the temple, people are making donations to the treasury. Big wigs are stroking big checks. These people pray long prayers in public places and push people out of line so they get the best seats at the diners. Don't be like these self-absorbed people, Jesus tells his disciples. It's hot. The afternoon is slow. Jesus and his disciples are a little drowsy, sitting on that stone wall around the marketplace in the shade. "Do you see that woman?" Jesus says, discreetly pointing. The disciples nod, but they don't know what they're looking at. An old woman walking up to the temple, poor box, a little shaky, steadied by a cane. She's still dressed in her funeral clothes, Jesus says. Look at what's in her hand. Watch her. Change scenes with me to the modern day. It's 7:30 in the morning at the local Hardee's on the highway, any small town in America. It's sunny outside and it's brisk. The coat you chose this morning is inadequate. You are in denial that winter is bearing down. The restaurant, though, is warm. As you step into the short line, you catch a glimpse of the people. They sit in clusters. At the table in the corner sits a boy and his mom, Mary. They're both young. She's 23. He's 4. He's cuddled up to her, the crumbs of his sausage cheese biscuit covering both their laps. His name is Jeb. They're smiling, chatting, eating. She's admiring her son. Mary's dad went ballistic when she announced that she was pregnant. It was her freshman year of college. He had big hopes for his only daughter. But he wasn't going to waste his money on somebody who obviously wasn't interested in bettering herself. So he cut her off. He said to her, "You are dead to me." He actually said those words to her, and worse than saying it, he never took it back.
It was he who died, however, not Mary. Something inside that bitter man died. His anger ate and ate and ate until he was hollow, and all he could ever hear was the echo of his own self-righteous voice. William Sloane Coffin said, "The world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love." Mary understood that in her bones, which is why she so enjoyed every moment with her young son. She didn't have her parents' support, but she had a job, and she had Jeb, and she had a hot plate of Hardee's biscuits and gravy and eggs and bacon and juice and a lap full of Jeb's crumbs, and things were working out. By the grace of God, she and that boy were doing fine. At a table in the other corner of the restaurant, two old men sitting facing one another, leaning in close as if around a fire to keep warm. Aged hands gnarled with years of physical work, nursed second cups of coffee. These old friends met in Mrs. Wilson's third grade classroom 67 years ago. Since they retired, these two pals meet at Hardee's every morning and talk sports and politics and the good old days. Sometimes they laugh, wondering how they ever got to be such old farts. They never thought that would happen to them, but here they are. They marvel at how fast life has become and how glad they are they don't have to rush around anymore trying to keep up. There's the guy at the table by the window. He's in a suit. He's got nice clothes, a sharp tie. He's got some baby face left, maybe 5 years out of college. His laptop is open on the table. He's talking on his cell phone to his wife. He couldn't come home last weekend because of this training he's worked so hard to sew up, having spent the last 5 long nights at the micro hotel. He's smiling as he talks with her, absently drawing circles on the table with his finger. They've been married 9 months, and the new car smell hasn't yet worn off their marriage. "It's not a lack of love," says one philosopher, "but a lack of friendship that makes marriages unhappy." He misses his friend, this man on the phone. He misses his wife, this bright woman on the other end of the line, and she misses him. Absence, in this case, really does make the heart grow fonder. The staff behind the counter are mainly very young adults, teenagers and young adults. They've sped through the first breakfast rush, and now in the lull before the second comers, they're talking trash with one another, laughing easily. A woman politely takes the drive-through orders. A man in the back folds food into wrappers and bags it with efficient care. An older woman, the shift boss, watches them move like speed skaters. She has whipped them into a team, but she never cuts them any slack, and she seldom lets them know how bursting with pride she feels. But they know, and they love her too. Outside, the sun shines like an invocation. Traffic is stacking up. The sky is clear. The wind is kicking up. The temperature is supposed to plummet. But it's warm inside. Outside, there is chaos and tension. Worried people tapping their steering wheel at the red light, fretting over the news on the radio, hurling down the road, living uncertain, worried lives. But inside, people are enjoying one another in a moment of sanctuary. They've stepped out of the rush. They're paying attention to sacred things, to kinship and friendship and meaningful work. They are taking good care of the time entrusted to them, which is exactly what Jesus points out to his disciples about that old woman. She's spending her life in a way that matters. Her gifts in that offering will help her community. She's tending the tie that binds. She is investing in the welfare of others. Just two copper coins. Be like that. Jesus tells his disciples, be like her. Spend your life like it matters. Because, of course, it does matter. Your life matters profoundly in big and small ways. Don't waste a second of this life that God has entrusted to your care. It's not impossible in my mind's imagination that Jesus reminded his disciples about other characters in the Old Testament, other stories, tried to knit this story to stories they knew in their hearts from their past, like the story of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was going to stand by Naomi's side no matter what. Friendship is important, I can imagine Jesus saying. And those 12 knew that. Community matters. God wants us to stand together with love, steady, strong, tenacious, joyful love. Ruth, like that old widow, is willing to sacrifice for what matters. There are a lot of puns that are missed in our lack of understanding of ancient language, but I could imagine Jesus saying something like, it's our job to put the Ruth back into what often appears to be a ruthless world. They're sitting there on that stone wall in the shade, noticing what Jesus notices and seeing things with fresh eyes. Remember the scene from E.B. White's Charlotte's Web? Charlotte, the spider, has saved Wilbur's life. Why did you do all this for me? Wilbur says. I've not done anything for you. You have been my friend, Charlotte said. That in itself is a tremendous thing. And the widow put in 2 copper coins. And Jesus smiled. See, he said, she has just now done a tremendous thing. Let's do tremendous things with and for one another. Things that may seem small, but that God can use for big things. Let's do and be tremendous things for one another, for this world that God so loves and in Christ has redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.